enemy!
What can I say? I'm Nina motherfucking Blanco.
Wowza! We made it to episode 25 of the Nina Blanco podcast. Thank you for listening. You might be listening on Spotify, on Apple Podcast. You might be watching on YouTube. And if you are, I so appreciate you because this is the second to last episode of season one of the Nina Blanco podcast. And then, yeah, I'm going to be taking a break because I'm getting married. And that's exciting, but I'm getting married in August. And yeah, it's just kind of like the last couple of months. I have a bunch of things coming up and I'm like, okay, I might need to take a little bit of a break from the podcast, but I did explain before and I'm just going to explain it one more time because I'm really excited about it. I'm kind of excited for this mini series that I want to do for the podcast. I want to do a mini series. Hopefully I can bring all of my equipment on flights and stuff with me when I go to Chicago for my bridal party, for when I go to San Diego for my bachelorette party, and for other festivities along the way. So I want to create a mini series out of all that wedding stuff. But here we are already a minute and a half basically into the podcast, and I haven't gotten to our Friday ritual yet. It's Breakfast Burrito Friday! Right into the song. Bonzo got crazy on this one. Fun. I love my breakfast burrito song. I'm so glad that I made it earlier this year, a couple months ago. Happy Breakfast Burrito Friday. As always, yes, it is tradition. Make sure to treat yourself because you made it to Friday. It's the end of the week. We're about to get into the weekend and you deserve it, baby. So grab a breakfast burrito. So if you're watching on YouTube, you might notice that like I put my topics that I'm going to be talking about on the side there. And what's not on there, which is usually on there, is Get Into It. Yeah. I talked about this a little bit last weekend. I was like, I'm just not going to do it. I mean, Johnny Depp, Amber Heard, they're going through trials. Kim Kardashian, Blac Chyna, they're going through trials. Like, I don't got to tell you this stuff because like TMZ and everything else, they're on it. So like, I really don't need to be the one to break. I'm not breaking any news. You know what I mean? Like, I'm putting this podcast out on a Friday covering stuff that's been out for a week already. I know. So I don't got to, you know, cover everything for you. If there's anything crazy, like, of course I'll cover it or whatever and talk about it and put my two cents in it because I can't help myself. But outside of those trials going on, I don't know, not really a whole lot going on. So I'm not going to do Get Into It Yeah at the end of this episode. We're going to skip that because I have so many other things going on that happened this last week that I got to talk to you about. So I have plenty to talk to you about. So the latest with me, you know, this last weekend, it was Easter weekend. And I don't know, our Easter weekend this year, I mean, it's weird because like holidays this year is different. Like last year, last Easter was great. I loved last Easter. It's like one of my favorite memories, but I'm trying not to cry. But of course, it has to do with Chester. You know, it's like last year was a really great Easter. And this year it was just different. And we just like,
We hung around the house and cleaned up, and we're getting, you know, ready for wedding stuff. We're getting ready for guests to be coming in. The boys' cousins are coming in this weekend, and we're going to go up to the mountains with them and hang out with family, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And so we were just, you know, doing house stuff, doing yard stuff. It's spring. That's what you do. And so it was just a little bit boring, and it was noticeably different, but that's okay, because life will do that, and life will continue to move on. But one Easter tradition that we do try to do is that we started last year, that we've determined to keep it going, and we did keep it going this year, is we want to do like tie-dye t-shirts, because like we are child-free, we're not going to have kids running around, like we don't need to do Easter eggs for what, you know? It's a lot of extra effort to do the Easter eggs, and for what? Because we don't have kids to entertain with them, so instead we're going to get colorful still with tie-dye. And so tie-dyeing t-shirts is kind of our new thing for Easter, is to tie-dye t-shirts. Last year we did like pillowcases, and we got creative with, like, we just like started grabbing things in the house that were white. We got pillowcases, we got socks and stuff like that. And so it was fun, and we continued that tradition this year. We tie-dyed some t-shirts, except this year it was a little bit more for a purpose. We tie-dyed t-shirts for my bachelorette party. So my bachelorette party is not happening until the beginning of June, but we're getting ready for it, because here's the theme. Are you guys ready for the theme of my bachelorette party? Because of course it is. I saw it online. One of my bridesmaids sent it to me, and I was like, yes, 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 this is gonna be it. Dazed and Engaged. Yep, I'm going the stoner route. So we're going to San Diego for my bachelorette party. And California, yeah, they got weed, so we'll probably get some weed, whatever. But just thought it was fun and thought it was different, and tie-dye t-shirts, and we want to go like 70s a little bit. And so that's going to be the theme, is like 70s disco tie-dye, lots of sparkly bling and everything in between. And then of course we'll throw a little 420 in there, because why not? So that is the theme of my bachelorette party, and I'm so excited. I have like, I'm basically a disco ball. I have a dress and it is just so sparkly. I'm basically a disco ball for like one night going out. But for t-shirts, because everyone does the t-shirt thing, I wanted to get my girls tie-dye t-shirts. So I was like, let's just make the tie-dye t-shirts. So the boy and I, we made my bridesmaids and my bridesman tie-dye t-shirts. And that was a lot of fun. So we did that on Easter to kind of get things ready for that. And then I'm actually going to bring those t-shirts. We're doing this on a budget, y'all. Gonna bring those t-shirts to Chicago when I go for my bridal party. And my mom has the whole Cricut set up, and she's gonna put the words on it. So like my t-shirt is gonna be a white shirt and say Dazed and Engaged, and then all the others, they're gonna have tie-dye shirts, so they'll be around me, you know, the contrast with it, whatever, and they'll have cute things on it. And so yeah, I'm excited. But that's pretty much, that was our Easter, is like cleaning the house and tie-dyeing t-shirts, and that was pretty much it. And yeah, not a whole lot going on that weekend, except because we were cleaning the house and stuff, I actually, the boy, he's been dying to do this. So the boy and I, we are so different in a lot of things. One major thing is like organization. Like I am, what do they call it? Like I, when things are like a complete mess, but I know where everything is, you know what I mean? I am that person, and things can get messy. And so our guest room, since we, I don't know, guests come and go, and when guests aren't here, I primarily use the guest room as my closet. My closet for my clothes, for my jewelry, I do my makeup in there. I hang out in that room more than I hang out in our actual bedroom. I hang out in the guest room because it's also my closet. So it's gotten a little messy because that's just what happens. I feel like girls can relate to this, because like your closet, over time, it's just going to get messy. And the last time I like thoroughly cleaned out my closet was 2 years ago in 2020, when Marie Kondo came out and everyone was watching Marie Kondo on Netflix. And I was like, I'm going to Marie Kondo the fuck out of my closet. And I did. And I organized all my drawers and my dressers and everything. And it was beautiful. But that only lasts for so long. Here we are, a year and a half, 2 years later. And so it is time to clean out that closet. And the boy has been like dying to help me clean the closet. So finally, I'm like, you know what? Like, we're cleaning the house. We're doing a deep clean. Like, do you want to clean my closet? And he got so excited. He was like, yes, let's go clean your closet. So I'm like, all right, bet, let's go. So he starts off by taking everything out of my closet except for the hangers and the clothes that were hanging up. But we took everything out. We took all of my shoes out. We took the shoe racks out. I had boxes in there that was like on the top of the closet. I had, I don't know, stuff just kind of shoved in the corners, like papers and stuff like that. And he took everything out. And we put it in piles and we went through the whole process. And then, of course, you know, you have to go through everything. So it took a little bit. It did. But I found two things in my closet that I want to show you. Okay. Thing number one, I got this in 2020. It was my 30th birthday. And my mom sent me a box filled with like childhood items, and like she gave me like my baby pictures. And you know, there comes a day when the parents get to do that and they're like, here, take your shit, because I don't want to store it anymore, you store it. So it was one of those boxes. It was kind of a smaller box, but that's okay. And she made it cute. She gave me birthday cards and other things in there, gifts, whatever. But she included some childhood things, like a wooden sign that was in my bedroom for the longest time, and childhood pictures and stuff like that. And she also gave me a Barbie doll that I was never allowed to play with. Let me show you this Barbie doll before I get into the story. Are you ready for this? It is a Selena Quintanilla Barbie doll. And if you're looking on YouTube, you're like, ooh, that Barbie doll is looking a little busted. What happened over there? Look at her hair. Okay, so this Barbie doll, I forget the year, but it was in the 90s. It was after she passed, and she has a boutique still up and running to this day in Texas, because Selena loved designing clothes and she wanted her own boutique. And so she did that. And she eventually, there was a Barbie doll created, and this is her iconic purple outfit. You see a lot of like Halloween costumes with this outfit. And this is just one of her iconic outfits. This is the one she did in the Texas whatever place. And so this outfit is just so iconic, and they made it into a Barbie doll. And so when I was around 8 years old, maybe. So maybe like 1998-ish, which I guess that matches up with the timeline after her passing and everything. But yeah, we went down to Texas and we went to Corpus Christi to make a special stop to go check out Selena's stuff. We wanted to see the coast, of course, and the boardwalk, but there's also a Selena statue out there. We wanted to go to her boutique. We saw her gravestone. And so it was kind of like a little mini Selena fan trip that we took. And when we went to the boutique, they were selling these Barbie dolls, and I was like, I want that Barbie doll. Mom, please, can I have this Barbie doll? And I think at the boutique, I can't remember leaving really with anything else. Like, I don't even know. Maybe I got like pencils or a t-shirt. Like, I don't even know what happened to that stuff. I don't remember even getting a t-shirt from the boutique. I only remember getting this doll. So I got this doll, and my mom is like, okay, I'm going to get this doll for you, but you cannot open it. And I was like, wait, why? It's a doll. That's what you do. Because my mom goes, well, here it is. It's the Selena doll, the original. And it says right here, limited edition. And so I was like, I can't open it and play with it. She's like, nope, you can't. So that was kind of torture. That was torture for an 8-year-old. To buy them a doll that they really, really wanted and were begging for. And so, sure, we'll buy it, but then you can't play with it. So, oh my gosh. So here it is in the box to this day. But my mom had to take this doll away from me because I had it in my room for a while and I promised not to open it, and I never did. But some of the glue on the plastic and the cardboard at the top came undone. And so I started, because I wanted so badly to play with this Barbie doll, what I did is I started to like stick my fingers up into this opening here, and I wanted to like play with the doll, and I just wanted to touch the doll. And so I would like play with her hair through this opening at the top. That's why her hair is all messed up inside of the box now, because it's got an opening here, and I would just go into that opening. I might as well open this up. Right? Like now, like this is mine. My mom gave up. She gave it to me. It's not worth anything. I think we looked it up online and like, I don't know, maybe $20, $25. Like it's really not worth a whole lot. But it means a whole lot to me, to my mom. Look at the back. She's got like pictures, a whole bio and everything. But this doll means a lot to me and to my mom. And she gave it to me for my 30th birthday. And I still have kept it in the box and just in my closet because that's where it was. My mom had to take it away from me because she saw what I was doing. And she's like, oh my gosh, you're messing it up. And she took it away from me and then kept it in her closet from like age 10 and up. So for the last 20 years, she had it in her closet and I was never allowed to have it. But now she gave it to me. And it's like, I don't know. I'm conflicted. She has little silver shoes in here and there's a hairbrush and her outfit. She has a microphone on her hand. I feel like I should open this up. Maybe I'm undecided, so I'm not going to do it right now. But one of these days, and when I do, I'm going to brush her hair and I'm going to play with her. Oh my gosh. Should I get a boy doll and pretend he's Chris? Now, Keith. But I found this in my closet. It was there and the boy was like, oh my gosh, you have a Selena doll. And I was like, yeah, my mom gave it to me finally for my 30th birthday and I never showed him. But I wanted to share that with you because I have this Selena doll and that's why her hair is all janky because I was an 8-year-old child who was basically just being tortured and wasn't allowed to play with my doll. So here it is. I also wanted to show you something else. So the boy's going through my closet and he's like, what are all these books? What is this? And I was like, oh, it's my journals. So I, growing up, like had a diary, but I was never good at like writing, like sitting, taking the time to just sit down and write in my diary. Like I would, and it would last for like a week and then I would forget about it. So like those little childhood diaries, I just don't have them. But when I started in radio, I actually started up journaling the way that I had always wanted to for my radio shows. So I had started journaling when I had gotten my first full-time job as the night show host at 101.5 CILFM in Carbondale, Illinois. And I started journaling all of my shows. So check out these journals. These are my radio journals. Look at this. There's so many journals. So all of these, oh, they're falling everywhere. All of these are my radio journals that I have kept from, was that 2011? I think probably my first journal is in 2011 and going on. And every year I would grab a new journal. So some of these, I'm not going to lie, are only halfway filled out. But it's really fun every once in a while to just go back through some of these journals and see what the hell I was writing about. One of these journals also I think is really cool was my trip to Japan. My mom, when I went to Italy the first time in high school, she was like, you should keep a journal and write each day at the end of the day what you did so you can remember everything. And I did do that. I have that Italian journal somewhere else. I need to find it. But I did the same thing for Japan. So I have a Japan journal in here, which is cool. Not Japan. Malaysia. It's a Malaysia journal. And then, my radio journal. So I want to read from one of these journals, but I don't know which one. I haven't like gone through and pre-picked something. So we're going to go at random and hope we can find something good. I know this is a more recent journal. We're going to skip that. This is a 2019-2020 journal that I like didn't even fucking use. Oh my God, this is from 2013. This one is from, I don't know. I didn't write the year on that one. Not good. Not good, but that's okay. Okay, here's what we're going to do. That was from Yosemite. We're going to pick between these three journals because I recognize these three journals because like I was on the journal thing in the very beginning for sure, like a whole lot. And then once I got onto the party and doing that, I kind of switched my journaling into an electronic form because I used it for the show every day on my computer. And I have essentially my journal on the computer on like, you know, Google Words or whatever, Microsoft Words. I don't fucking know. Those are most likely just going to one day get deleted and I'm never going to have it like to last forever. But these journals, so I got to get back to journaling for my next radio job if that happens. But let's pick between these journals. Let's do this green one. We're going to do this green journal. I'll see if I can figure out the year because I didn't write out the year on every single one of them, but I can probably figure it out based on the music. So this is from CILFM. So between 2011 and 2013, 2014, let's just open. So my journal, the way I journaled or whatever was I would just write down like my segments and the things that I'm talking about and stuff like that. So let's see, Monday, May 19th. CIL. So we've got a caption that contest brought to you by Don Soul, Question of the day brought to you by HW. I don't know what HW stands for. That's got to stand for something. Anyway, then we got Hair and Festa Italiana liners, which if you're from Southern Illinois, you know what that is, which most likely you don't know what that is. But that was just like a festival, like small town little festival. They would sometimes splurge and bring in like a medium sized country artist and stuff like that. And so we would always have a presence there. So for Hair and Festa Italiana, I did the Cat Fight, and the Cat Fight was two female artists songs playing back to back, and you call in and vote which one you like better. And then that song will roll over until the next night and compete against another female song. So I was just like female songs, and that's why it was called the Cat Fight. But the Cat Fight was Shakira, her song Empire versus Demi Lovato featuring Cher Lloyd. I really don't care. And that one won. Hot Five at 9, which is the top five songs of the day. Number 5, Katy Perry Birthday. 4, Congo's Come With Me. 3, Nico and Vin's Am I Wrong. 2, Iggy Azalea and Charlie XCX Fancy. And the number 1 song was Michael Jackson featuring Justin Timberlake, Love Never. Was that a song? I don't even know what song that was, but it was the number 1 song. Oh my gosh. Oh, here's some Hollywood sleaze stories. This was my celebrity segment then. It was called the Hollywood Sleaze. So Kendall Jenner screws up 5 Seconds of Summer intro at the Billboard Music Awards, and then the Michael Jackson hologram performance at Coachella. Okay. All right. Remix Hour. We had Wale featuring Rihanna, Beyonce Drunken Love. Okay. So that's kind of like what these journals were just like my segments and what I talked about for the Hollywood thing and what songs are going on. So this is like one of the journals. It's rare, but this is one of the journals that is totally like filled up with stuff. So this was like an everyday thing. This was fun for me. But yeah, so I have all these radio journals, and so I have a ton of them. And then yeah, I just wanted to show you some of my radio journals. Kind of nerdy, but kind of fun to look back on. If you don't journal, and like I said, I've always wanted to be more of a journal person. If you don't journal, like, it is a lot of fun if you can remember to do it. And so like, I'm trying to do a bridal journal right now, actually. And I've been wanting to do a bridal journal for the last 2 weeks, haven't done a single thing. In the last couple of days, I'm like, okay, I'm going to sit down. I'm going to write some stuff in the bridal journal. I have some stuff that I can write about. Still haven't done it. So it's just sometimes it's like you have to just force yourself to find that time and just sit your ass down and journal, because it's so worth it. It is so worth it later on. If you follow on Instagram, you know that I have had a lot of things going on this week, but one thing in particular like really, really shook me. I think it was this past Monday. I went out and I was like, I'm going to go shopping for myself because I'm excited, because A, I cleaned out my closet. I got rid of some clothes. So I'm like, okay, need to fill the hangers back up. That's my toxic trait. What can I say? And so I was like, let me go shopping, because I haven't spent any money in a really long time, as you know, I shouldn't be spending money because my broke ass, I'm unemployed and everything. And I got a whole ass wedding to pay for. And you know, I shouldn't be spending money, but I do need to spend a little bit of money on like new outfits and clothes and stuff like that. So I have been doing that. And so I was like, I want to go real life shopping, because like shopping on the internet, like, okay, it's fun, whatever. And it's cute. Like whenever you get a delivery, you get excited, but something about just shopping in person is what does it for me. So I was like, I'm going to go shopping for myself. And I bought some clothes and I bought some household things at TJ Maxx and whatever. And then on my way home, I was like, I gotta go to Walgreens because I need to buy nail polish and razors. Pull up, I'm in my car and I'm just sitting there for like a little bit on my phone, like texting people back, whatever. And then I see someone, I look over to my left and there's like some person on like the part of the parking lot that is a little bit more like empty. They're walking across the parking lot. And I was like, I don't know if this person's gonna like knock on my window and I don't wanna be in my car. I'm gonna lock my doors and like try to get in. So I see someone coming, and it's just like, you know, a safety thing. You know, being a girl, like guys don't have to think about this kind of shit, but girls do. So I saw someone kind of approaching and I was like, okay, time to dip. So I actually got out of my car, locked the doors, closed the door. And I was like, not like noticeably speed walking, but probably walking a little bit faster than I normally do to go inside. And so I'm like almost to the door. I'm essentially at the door and I hear this person speak out and they say, excuse me, miss, can you please help me with something? And I was like, you know, I did the usual and I feel bad about it, but sometimes you're just in that kind of a situation and you don't know what else to do. But I did the usual of, oh, I'm so sorry, I don't have any cash on me. I was like, but I did tell him, I was like, but I'll go inside and see if there's something that I can do. Maybe I can get cash back or something. And he was like, no, 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 no. And this guy, his voice was like cracking a little bit. And I was like, are you nervous? Or maybe sometimes you have like vocal strain or something. And I was like, what is that? And he, as he's talking to me, I realize it's like, oh my gosh, this is like a really young kid. Like his voice is cracking because of puberty. And he was like, no, I'm not asking for any money. I was wondering if you could help me and if you could buy me milk and cereal to eat. And I was like, oh, you want me to buy, he's like, milk and cereal if you could. And I was like, yeah. Yeah, I can do that for you. Absolutely. And he goes, if you want, I can show you which kind. I was like, yeah. I'm like, come in the store with me. Let's go. And we were right at the door. I was literally at the electronic door, whatever. It's already opening up because I hit the trigger and like I'm right there in the door. So it's like in terms of like, I don't know, being a female and safety and everything like that, you know, don't talk to strangers or whatever. And I don't know this man. But it just ended up being one of these scenarios where like someone just needed help. And even more than that, a kid just needed some help. And he asked me if I would buy him some milk and cereal. And I was like, yeah, dude, I'll buy you some milk and cereal. Let's go. And so we walked in the store together and he said, thank you. And he's like, I'm 15 years old. I'm homeless. And I was like, oh, I'm really sorry to hear that as we're like approaching the milk, the refrigerated section. And so we go and we look at the milk and this is a Walgreens. And to be honest, they weren't very well stocked and this isn't a grocery store. So like, why should they be? And in terms of milk, I felt really bad because his milk options were so limited. Like they were out of stock essentially of a lot of different milk products. And so the only milk that he could find that was like decent for him to have was like whole milk, which I was like, oh, honey. I was like, but maybe that'll like, I don't know, fatten him up and extra calories. I don't know. But he grabbed a little half carton of whole milk. And then we went over to the cereal section and he picked out some cereal. And as I'm standing there, I was like, yeah, you can pick out whatever you want. I was like, you can get a family size. Like you can get a big box. It'll maybe last you a little bit longer. And he was like, no, that's okay. And he just grabbed like a regular size box of Captain Crunch. And then he was like, I'm sorry, but do you think I can get like bowls, like plastic bowls and spoons? I was like, dude, yes. Like let's go find the bowls and the spoons. So we grab him some plastic bowls and we grab him some plastic spoons. And then my stupid environmental mind was like, should I get him a plastic bowl that is reusable? But then I was like, how is he going to clean it? I don't know. That's milk. It's going to go bad. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I was like, he can use these fucking plastic bowls. Shut up, Nina. So like, these are just the things that go through my mind. It's like, how can I be environmentally friendly? And it's so annoying. But he picks out his bowls and stuff. And so we go to stand in line together to check out. And so we're standing in line. He goes, yeah, I'm only 15. He's like, I'm homeless. I was like, I'm really sorry to hear that. He goes, my mom abandoned me. And I was like, oh shit, dude. I was like, I'm terribly sorry. And I just like didn't know what to say. I was also, because of how emotional I am, like trying not to cry. So that's kind of why I didn't say a whole lot either, because I was just trying not to cry. He felt like opening up to me just a tiny little bit, which I really appreciate. Maybe he just needed someone to talk to. And I feel bad that I wasn't that person for him to talk to. I was just like, was literally holding in tears because you know how I am. I'm holding in tears right now. So he told me that his mom abandoned him and he's only 15 and doesn't really have anywhere to go and he's living on the streets and this milk and cereal is going to last him a couple of days and I really helped him out and I'm just like, ugh. And then like, you know, of course all these thoughts are going through your mind of like, what can you say to help? And I chose not to say this because this is one of the things that went through my mind was like, oh, well, you're 15, 16, you can get a job. Like maybe you can even get a job now at 15. But then like, no, because if he doesn't have parents and he's probably not going to school, you can't get one of those job permits. And so I was like, I just chose not to say anything. And I was like, you know, he doesn't need another person to be like, oh, well, when you're 16, you can get a job and then you can pay for stuff and blah, blah, blah. Like, I didn't need to be that person. He was not asking for that person. And he was just asking for a little bit of help to buy some milk and cereal and bowls and spoons. And I was like, I can be that person for you. So I just didn't say much to him. And I do feel bad about that. But again, I was just trying not to cry and just paid for his stuff and gave him the bags. And then he went on his way and he left. He's like, I'm going to go catch the bus. And I was like, okay, be safe. And he left. And I feel for this kid. And it's like, oh my gosh, there are 15-year-olds. There are 15-year-olds who don't have a home to go to, who don't have parents, who don't have guidance, who don't have people there for him, who are in such a predicament because he can't get a job. How is he supposed to get money to feed himself and get on the bus to go to whatever, hopefully, shelter or a friend's house or an aunt's house or something? I don't know. I don't know the answer to all of that, but it's just, it's so sad and it's so heartbreaking that that is the reality of people, of some people who live in this world. And I'm like, that's such a hard life to live. And that obviously wasn't by his choice. Like, he didn't ask to be brought into this world. His mother, who abandoned him, I don't know her situation. I don't know. So it's hard to even comment on that. I shouldn't comment on that because I don't know. But it's like one of those things where, you know, if you're not in a position to have kids, then don't have kids. Because then later on, when those kids get older and more complex and more expensive and you couldn't handle it in the first place, you definitely can't handle it now, the mother abandons him. And now we just have this 15-year-old unhoused, homeless child asking strangers in the front of Walgreens, can you please buy me some milk and cereal? He bought Captain Crunch. You know why? Because Captain Crunch is delicious and it's sugary and it's addictive and he's 15 years old. He's a kid. Who doesn't love Captain Crunch at 15 years old? So, oh my gosh, it's just, it's hard and it breaks your heart. Ooh, don't cry. Hold on. And now more than ever, when I did the Galentine's thing for a women's shelter, I feel so good about that because a part of me was even not feeling guilty that I gave to a women's shelter, obviously, but like a part of me was feeling guilty that I was annoying you, I was annoying my listeners, I was annoying followers on Instagram of like, donate to my thing, I'm doing this thing, look at this, donate, 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 give me your money. And I was feeling bad at how annoying I was and like how that must feel for other people. I mean, it was for a great cause, obviously, so I don't think people mind like as much, but I felt annoying. I really did. And that's why I was also like questioning, should I do this again for Thanksgiving time for a potential gal's giving and do this again? And because I didn't want to be annoying, but now it's like, you know, just the fact that like this situation happened and I was trying to help unhoused women who were in a shelter who needed some help. And then this 15-year-old kid, he's abandoned by his mother and he needs help. And it's like, gosh, there are just so many people who need help out there. And this world is getting more and more expensive by the day. And it's hard. It is so hard. And it's like, you know, people who are in a situation like that, you know, you get the people nagging at them like, oh, just get a job and save your money and don't spend it on stupid shit and blah, blah, blah. All right. But when stuff, essential stuff, is getting more and more expensive, and I know you don't go grocery shopping at Walgreens, but buying four things, buying milk, buying cereal, buying bowls and plastic spoons was $17. $17 at Walgreens. I know it's more expensive at Walgreens. That's besides the point. $17 for like such a simple purchase is insane. It's insane. But I was obviously happy to do it for this kid. And like kids like him, okay, when he grows up and he can get a job, how in the hell is he supposed to save enough money for like his first and last month's rent, plus worrying about next month's rent, plus having to buy more milk and cereal that's costing $17? Like, how is a person supposed to get ahead when everything is getting more and more expensive? It's just, it's so not fair. It's so fucked up. I know I'm preaching to the choir right now because everyone's probably feeling the same way. We're all feeling that inflation, right? And I don't know. It was super fucked up that the kid was in that situation. I was happy to help him, but just being in that situation, man, I don't know. I hate that I like think more about what other people are thinking and feeling in terms of like how I just said I feel I was annoying to my followers and stuff about the Galentine's Day thing. And I feel like I'm going to be annoying again for Gal's Giving. But when it is for a better cause, for a good cause to help people, it's like I shouldn't feel that way and I need to really work on that. But I can't help it. And so it's like I've got all these conflicting feelings about everything. And it's like I have to also remember, like, I can't save the world. And that's the hardest part about being a fucking emotional roller coaster and being a Cancer and being an empath. And I want to be able to help as many people as I can just in my day-to-day life. And I don't know, and just entertain and help for the better if I can. But I can't help but like think about everyone and I want to save everyone. But like, that's not possible. That is beyond my control. So I don't really know where I'm going with this. I'm sorry I'm crying again. It's just, it's a lot, man. And what really gets me is all these other fucking asshole 15-year-olds. And I know it's not their fault. They're just teenagers being teenagers and spoiled brats because their parents spoiled them. But it's like, you look at this kid. He's 15 and he was so polite to me and he just wanted a meal and I helped him out with that and he was really appreciative. And I mean, I'm sure, you know, we all have our own ups and downs, good moments, bad moments, but it's just like knowing other 15, 16-year-olds are such like assholes to their parents or rebel for no reason other than they just want attention and like all this stupid shit. But then you have this 15-year-old who just wants some fucking milk and cereal and who wants some love and was talking about his mom while at the same time at fucking Walgreens, they have on the loudspeaker, Mother's Day is May 8th. Don't forget about moms on Mother's Day. And he's like abandoned by his mom. Even the reference that I made to like get a bigger box of cereal, you can get the family size. He doesn't have a fucking family. And it's like, oh God, like that poor kid. It's just sad. It's just sad, man. And I wish him the best of luck. I don't know him. I don't know if I'll ever see him again, but like that experience, just meeting him, it was a lot. Obviously, here I am days later talking and crying about it. And it's just sad. It's so sad. So my concept for Galentine's Day and Gal's Giving was women empowerment, female empowerment, just females helping other females. Let's raise money for a women's shelter. And this kid rolls up and just knowing that his mom, I don't know her situation, but she was in enough of a situation to feel the need to abandon her child because she couldn't handle it. If I can continue Gal's Giving and Galentine's Day and help moms who are in a situation and women who are in a situation so that they don't have to do this to their future kids and maybe one less 14, 15-year-old ends up on the street by themselves, then fuck. I guess you're going to have to deal with me being annoying. You're going to have to fucking deal with it because after that, like, I don't know that I can't not do it. You know what I mean? And we've just got to help each other. It's hard. Life alone by itself is hard, and the fact that everything is getting more expensive and it's like money doesn't bring you happiness. The fuck it does. It really fucking helps, okay? Yeah, so just prepare me to continue to being annoying with my fundraising and stuff like that. And I definitely will now most definitely want to do it at least a twice a year thing. And I just need to get over that because it's doing more good than bad. And
I think people appreciate it more than they find it annoying. Hopefully after hearing this, you can understand a little bit. And you can also just feel free to tell me that I'm crazy and caring about how annoying I potentially am to other people. But that is who I am. But yeah, Galsgiving this November, just going to definitely be coming. I'm going to have to be looking into starting a freaking nonprofit, which is just nerve wracking because I don't know anything about that. If you know anyone that works in nonprofits, dude, please tell me because I'm going to need some help because I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing. I just know that in one way or another, I need to help and I need to continue helping because being sensitive is hard, you guys. It kind of sucks from time to time because I feel stupid crying so much on this freaking podcast, but I can't help it. So pardon me. Now I'm all hot and sweaty because I was crying and whatever. On to other stories. Maybe I should have put that story last. I don't know. How do I even transition out of that? Galsgiving coming your way soon. Anyway, so 420 was the other day. That's something that helps manage my emotions. When Chester died, I smoked a lot of weed. A lot of weed because it helped me stop crying. I feel like I need some right fucking now. But I did. I smoked a lot of weed. I'm a fan of marijuana. And the other day, it was 420. So let's talk 420. 420 was the other day, and I saw a news headline. It was like, how the city of Denver is praising 420 and also, like, criminalizing it at the same time. And I was like, you know what? That's so true, though, because at 420 downtown, they make it this big thing, you know, Colorado Pride. We did the whole recreational marijuana thing. We did it first, and here we are years later, and it's going great, and blah, blah, blah. There's a lot of positives to it, but also the audacity of, like, allowing a 420 festival with 420 vendors, dispensaries are out there. I mean, they can't, like, give away weed and stuff like that. But I don't know, like, people are giving out, like, papers and stuff like that, little joint rollers. You can enter to win things. And so the fact that they have a whole festival that they're like, yeah, we'll allow you to have the permits and that's going to make money for the city as well. And let's do it. But don't you dare get actually high while you're there or we will ticket you. And they fucking do. They do. So it's like, how are you going to allow this 420 fest and be like, yeah, 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 we're with you guys. It's dope. Did you see that? It was like Denver City and County. Oh, where's my phone? Did you see that fucking post? They posted some bullshit where they try to be like cool and throw in like stoner lingo. And this is dope. And see you there, homes. Like, I don't know. They put some stupid shit in a Facebook post. And I was like, if y'all don't shut the fuck up, it's infuriating a little bit because, like, the fact there are still people in jail for marijuana, that, hello, and allowing this to happen in our city so that you can profit off of it, but at the same time, you're going to profit even further by ticketing people who are partaking, and it's just annoying. It's just fucking annoying, but 420, I didn't go downtown this year. I just was, I don't know, I wasn't feeling it, and 420 this year, it was the first time the festival was going on since COVID, so I'm sure it was, like, a fun time and everything, and I think Ice Cube was performing, so that was cool. But I did want to share a funny 420 story with you. This was 420 in 2018. Nope. Yes, in 2018. This was my first 420 in Denver because I moved here in 2017, but I moved here after April. So I missed that one. So my first 420 in Denver was in 2018, and I was working with Flow 107.1, and it was a lot of fun. And Flow was there. They had a big presence there. We were like one of the only radio stations that were out there because all the other radio stations are still afraid of marijuana and doing anything with money and advertising and stuff like that. So a lot of the other radio stations kind of stay away. But Flow's like, fuck it, let's go, which is what I loved about them. And so it was a lot of fun being out there. We had a tent. We were broadcasting. I did stage announcements, and Lil Jon was there. So we did like stage announcements for Lil Jon, and that was a lot of fun. It was so cool. And because a lot of people partake after I was done with work, I was like,
let's partake because we're getting ready for the concert. I mean, there's smoke fucking everywhere. You're going to get a contact high no matter what. So might as well. I'm saying. I may or may not have, there you go, legalities, may or may not have partook. So there it is. And one of my coworkers may or may not have had like some shit that was just so extreme. And like, I don't know if there was wax in it as well. And like the keef on it as well. It was just like the whole thing. So we do that, right? Okay. We may or may not have done that. So, so all of a sudden, as we're getting ready, because we did our stage announcements, everything is done. Like, we're done with work, right? And so the only thing that is going on, like, work-wise, is our promotions department, they're, like, cleaning everything up. You know, they're taking down the tent, they're taking down the tables, they're moving our stuff, we're throwing it in the van so that they can get out of there. But I'm staying because I want to see Lil Jon. I'm here for the concert, right? So work time is over. We're blazed. And the concert's getting ready to start. And I think Lil Jon, I don't know what happened, but he was just like taking a little bit of time to get on stage while everything is like packing down around me. And so everything that where we were was like essentially right in front of the stage, a little bit back, but like right front and center. And they had like barricades around us. So people couldn't get in to like mess with our equipment and stuff like that. And so I have these barricades around us. And so I'm in the middle of this barricade and everyone else all around the barricades are like squished in because people are excited. People are excited for 20. They know the concert's about to start. They know Lil Jon's about to take the stage. People are excited. And so the crowd, you can kind of just like feel the energy. And I'm there and I had a cousin in town and she was there with us. And then some coworkers just stayed and we were in our little barricaded area. And people were getting pissed at us. People were like, why do you get to go in there? I want to go in there. I want to get close. Look at all this space. This is so much space. It was a huge space that they had barricaded. I'm not going to lie to you. But they were like, move this fence. Can we just move it? Can we go in? Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I don't know the answer to these things. And I don't know. And I was like super high, you know? So I was like, fuck. And the paranoia started to set in the more that people were yelling at us because we were just in the middle of this thing and Lil Jon starts and people are excited and people are starting to dance and stuff. But the people behind us that were behind this little barricade were like, fuck that. What the hell? I want to get in there. Move this fucking. And they're like shaking it. And they're like, rah. And so it's getting more and more intense. And I was like, oh no. Because the marijuana's is like really starting to kick in now. And I'm like, the paranoia. And I was like, I had to go. I felt so bad for my cousin. Eventually, they moved those barricades and then everyone just like pushed in. I left before that because I knew that was going to happen and it was too much for me. It was too much for me in that scenario. There was too many people around and too many people yelling at me. All eyes are on like on us because they're like, you were the one that was on stage. They're like, do something, move it. And I was like, I don't know. And so it was just too much. I felt so bad because I told my cousin, I was like, I need to go. I need to leave. I can't be here right now. Like I was starting to have like a panic attack. I was like, I can't do this. And I felt really bad because we would have had really great, like a great spot to see the show and everything. But I was like, nope, I don't want to be here. And so we left and we ended up like watching from like way back because I had to go. But the paranoia, it was setting in. It was too much for me and I ruined it for my cousin. So I apologize, but I had to go. But that was a 420 to remember for sure. I was so scared. I was just scared of being trampled and like being beat up because I don't know, people are serious about Lil Jon apparently. For 420. But that's always fun. So if you celebrated 420, that's cool. If you didn't, that's also cool too. Like I'm not one of those people who's like forces people to smoke. Like that's just so dumb to me. Like no, peer pressure type of people, whether it be like drugs or alcohol, weed, whatever, like for what? That person's going to have a terrible time. You're forcing them. You're probably going to make them do like way too much of whatever it is and, you know, alcohol, whatever. And it's not going to be a good time. So I don't know. I'm just definitely not that person. Like I'll always offer it up if I'm, you know, smoking or whatever. Like, hey, do you smoke? Do you want some? No, I'm good. And it's okay. And then I'm like, okay. And then I don't anymore. I'm not going to try to pressure anyone. Like that's just so dumb to me. And then they're going to hate it for the rest of their lives. You know what I mean? And because I'm a lover of marijuana, I like it. I'm a proponent of it. I don't want to make people hate it. So why are you going to force them to do too much when you know they're going to have a terrible time? Don't do that. Don't be that person. Speaking of being that person, I was a little bit, it was interesting because I am looking at, we're looking at mini moon ideas. So we want to do like a real honeymoon somewhere tropical on an island, in a bungalow, on the water. I don't want to see no one. And we're going to have eventually one of those honeymoons, but it'll probably be early 2023. So after we get married this next August in a couple of months, we wanted to go on a mini moon and we'll just like go somewhere cool in Colorado because we love Colorado a lot and we haven't been to like the southwest part of Colorado. So we were thinking like maybe we'll go somewhere southwest Colorado because we haven't really explored that part of the state yet. And so we're looking at hotels and stuff like that. And I let one of the boy's family members, his aunt, know that we were going to do like a mini moon in Colorado somewhere. And she's like, oh my gosh, you should go to one of the like historic hotels. Like if you guys are going to splurge a little, I was like, yeah, totally. We want to. She's like, you should go to one of the historic hotels. Like you could go to the Stanley, you could go to like Cliff House and like all this stuff. And I was like, ooh, that is a good idea. Like, yeah, if you're going to splurge and do it, it's for a mini moon. Like why not? And so I started looking into it yesterday. And as I'm looking at like hotels and stuff like that, like I started Googling just like hotels in Colorado, and that's not helpful because that is too broad of a search. So then I was like, let me find a list of like historic hotels in Colorado. So I found a good list for that. And then one of the ones that she mentioned that was also on the list was like Cliff House. And I was like, that sounds cool. Is it on a cliff? Like, I don't know. Let's check it out. So I go on the website and I check it out, and they have like these presidential suites and like super high ceilings and stuff. I'm like, that's kind of cool. Okay, I can see. Then like it's fancy schmancy. They got chandeliers and stuff in the lobby and whatever. So I was like, that could be fun, maybe a night or two. And then I was like, let me look at these suites because all of the like high-end presidential ones are going for like $500 a night. I was like, let me see if I could see pictures of each of these suites, and then I can pick which suite I like the best if they're all the same price and we're gonna splurge. So I'm trying to look at pictures, and I'm looking at pictures of all these suites, and I'm like, I don't want to stay here. I don't want to sleep on that old crusty bed, which I don't know how many people have banged on that bed, but too many for my comfort level. How many asses have been in that old crusty chair? Does that chair smell? Like, I'm not going to smell it, but that chair probably fucking smells. And then there was a room that had like some old, I don't know, World War General on it. And it was like a black and white photo of some old dude who's been dead for a long time, some general. And he's like, the picture is like in front of the bed. It's like, as you're laying on the bed, if you were to look down on your feet, there's this fucking guy staring at you. And I'm like, I hate it. I hate this hotel. I was like, I don't want to stay in any of these rooms. And the curtains are all gaudy floral. And there's wallpaper of like ridiculous patterns that don't match with the floral curtains. And I'm like, this is someone's grandma's house. I don't want to stay here. And so I'm looking at it and I was like, oh my gosh, am I not classy? Because I like to pretend, right? A bitch can pretend, right? You can pretend you're classy all you want. You know, I can drink wine. I could sip on some champagne. I looked up like etiquette classes and how to do like, I don't know, a fucking afternoon tea and shit. I looked up all the proper things because I felt like it and I wanted to be fancy and I just wanted to show off one time. But apparently I'm not as fancy and classy as I thought I was because I hate this hotel. I mean, I'm just talking about like Cliff House, but like it really, it's all of them. Like all the antique hotels that have this type of like furniture and ambiance and whatever. And that's always been one of the things, right? Of like a themed hotel, antique hotel, historic hotel. Think about all the cool people that have been there, which is cool to think about. But also looking at that crusty ass couch, I don't want it. I don't want to be by it. I don't even want to smell that room. That room probably smells pretty musty. And it's nothing against the hotel staff, nothing against them, because there's nothing that they can do about it because it's really old furniture. And those smells are in that wallpaper. Those smells are in the carpet. Those smells are on that ugly ass floral comforter on the bed. And you can't get it out no matter how many times you try to wash it. And so it's nothing against the hotel specifically and nothing against staff or anything like that. It's just not my vibe. And so I'm I don't know, maybe I'll save us a little bit of money because I don't really want to go to one of these historic hotels to stay at. I don't want to. Like, the furniture and stuff is not doing it for me. Like, I don't even want to show this off on my Instagram. What am I paying $500 a night for? You know what I mean? So I am apparently not classy because I think that these classy, antique, historic hotels are actually old and crusty. And I said what I said, and I will not take it back. So we have to figure out somewhere else to go for our mini moon in Colorado. If you have suggestions in like Southwest Colorado, I'd love to hear it. I told the boy, I was like, I'd rather go camping than to stay in one of those old crusty hotels. And the boy, he was like, he's like, yeah, I kind of agree. And I was like, you know, it would be cool, like the Stanley and everything like that. I was like, I would do one night in the Stanley. Like, I'm such a scaredy cat of ghosts and stuff like that. But I would do like one night in the Stanley and deal with it. And he was like, well, he's like, I don't know about that. He's like, I don't want you to be scared on our honeymoon. And I was like, oh, that's really sweet. He's like, I don't want to have to deal with that. And I was like, oh, how dare you? Because I'm so dramatic when it ghosts and creakings and oh my God, I would be so freaked out if I ever stayed in the Stanley Hotel. I don't think I could do it. I don't know. I could do it. Maybe I could do it one night. I could do it for one night and that's it. But I would be scared and complain the whole time, which is why the boy said that. But okay, I laugh. I cried. I did all of it on this episode of the podcast. This episode was all over the place. I had stories left, right, front, center, in the back, all around the corner. I had stories all over the place in this one. So I'm sorry for that. I am an emotional roller coaster. This is just a day in the life for me. So imagine how the boy feels. But let's play you this Breakfast Burrito Friday song one more time. Because you deserve it. You know what it is. Don't forget that you deserve it. It's Breakfast Burrito Friday. Thank you so much for listening and following and all of it. I love you. Bye.